وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. ثم بعد، الله سبحانه وتعالى He says in His glorious book, after saying أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم من همزه ونفخه ونفثه، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الذين يأكلون الربا لا يقومون إلا كما يقوم الذي يتخبطه الشيطان من المس، ذلك بأنهم قالوا إنما البيع مثل الربا وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا فمن جاءه موعظة من ربه فانتهى فله ما سلف وأمره إلى الله ومن عاد فأولئك أصحاب النار هم فيها خالدون. يمحق الله الربا ويربي الصدقات والله لا يحب كل كفار أثيم. إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وأقاموا الصلاة وآتوا الزكاة لهم أجرهم عند ربهم ولا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وذروا ما بقي من الربا إن كنتم مؤمنين. فإن لم تفعلوا فأذنوا بحرب من الله ورسوله وإن تبتم فلكم رؤوس أموالكم لا تظلمون ولا تظلمون. These verses from Surah Al-Baqarah are translated as follows. Those who eat riba will not stand on the day of resurrection except like the standing of a person يتخبطه الشيطان من المس, except like the person who has been beaten or touched or afflicted by shaitan, leading him to insanity. That is because they say the person who eats the riba, the person who witnesses the contract being signed of riba, the person who borrows on riba, the person who gets a car note on riba, the person who gets insurance on riba without justification or extreme necessity, the person who gets a mortgage, a house note on riba, they say that trade is only like riba. This is what they say. إنما البيع مثل الربا. Where Allah has permitted trading and forbidden riba. وأحل الله البيع وحرم الربا. Allah has made trade lawful and He's made riba haram. So whoever receives a maw'idha, whoever receives an admonition, a warning, in the strongest of sense and the strongest of terminologies, and of the many strong terminologies used in the Quran, of one of the strongest terminologies used by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops eating the river and stops paying the river and stops witnessing the river, and anything that's connected to the river shall not be punished for that which happened in the past. His case is for Allah to judge. But whoever returns to the river, whoever after hearing these words that their brother Dawood Adib is reciting from the Book of Allah, whoever returns after they abandoned it, when they leave here, and then 5 days later, Shaitan whispers to them, or their nafs whispers to them, Shaitan's among the jinn or the men. And unfortunately nowadays, the shaitan from among the men have become more prolific than the shaitan from among the jinn. If he or they whisper to the people to return to eating the river, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, فَأُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. And even though we know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they will be the denizens or the citizens or the dwellers or the inhabitants or the owners of the hellfire, there are some cases when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that people will be in the hellfire. Allahumma ajjina min an-nar, and we ask Allah to keep us out of the hellfire. Ameen. In this ayah, the people who return to river will be in the hellfire forever. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say anything about the kuffar. This is a general verse. Muslim, kafir, whatever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. They will be in the hellfire forever. Dwelling forever. In this particular verse, brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining to us that this thing called riba, in common terms, is hell on an installment plan. Riba is hell on an installment plan. Anybody who hears these words that doesn't shiver in their Pumas and their Brogans and their LA Gears, something has to be wrong with them. If you don't shake and shiver from hearing these verses, then something has to be wrong with you. Then in fact, it is like the people of the past, in our contemporary times of the past, one kafir who made this very poignant statement. He said, anybody who goes to a psychologist needs one. Anybody who goes to a psychologist needs one. I remember when I went to the city of Medina and visited it, what we call the Jinn Hospital, where Shaykh Ali Mushrif, hafizahullah, 7 days a week, 16, 17 hours a day, he was exercising people who were possessed by the jinn. And when me, myself, and a brother Ali Tamimi, Shaykh Ali Tamimi, and Idris Palmer, on that Thursday afternoon, walked into that hospital on the outskirts of the city of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with this beautiful white stone wall fence around it. We walked into the courtyard of that hospital. We can hear on the women's section, the women going like this, like their voices were men. This was the women's section. And when we went into the men's section, we saw the sheikh getting ready to perform his exorcism. And there were men seated around and similar to like a room like this, waiting to be exercised. And their eyes, some of them were rolling in the back of their heads, and they were talking in voices other than their normal voices, and some of them were stiff, like they had been tied up. It was all kinds of scenes. Scenes similar, not the same, but similar to what you see in some of these horror movies. And after making dua to Allah and asking Allah's protection, he went around the room and began his exorcism. And it was one of the most frightening things I've ever seen in my life. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ الرِّبَى لَا يَقُومُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَقُومُ الَّذِي يَتَخَبَّطَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنَ الْمَسِ. The one who eats the riba will not stand except like a person who stands up. He won't stand on the day of resurrection except like one, like those people I saw in the hospital who's been touched by shaitan. Now, this may not hit the people really hard. I don't know. I only saw two people shaking their heads saying, So since that didn't hit you too hard, I'd like to read a hadith from the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And before I recite this hadith from the Messenger of Allah, I'd like to cite to some of you who may already know the story of something that I remember that I read in a book called Howard Street by Nathan Hurd. I don't know if he's still around. Allah yahdihi. May Allah guide him to Islam. Amen. I think we call him Booby. Booby Nathan Hurd. He wrote a book about 25, 30 years ago maybe called Howard Street. And in this book, he talked about two or three young men one night who caught this woman, put a sack over her head, drug her into the basement, and raped her repeatedly. Just kept raping her, raping her, raping her, raping her. And I don't want to say what they said, but those who read the book remember what they said. They said, well, you know, and we have some children here, so I won't say exactly what they said. But they said, well, let's take the sack off her head to see how she looks. And it was one of the guy's mother. It was one of the guy's mother. You see how you feel when you heard this story? It was one of the guy's mother. He went out and he killed himself, made a suicide. This is what Allah's Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about riba. Al-riba sab'una juz'an. أَيْسَرُهَا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الرَّجُلُ أُمَّهُ. That riba has 70 parts. And the least of it is like you having sex with your own mother. The least of it is like you having sex with your own mother. How in the world can you hear these verses and hear this hadith recited by myself and get a note on a card? How can you do it? How in the world can you use a flimsy linen line, lame excuse to say I don't have enough room for my children, I can't be in an apartment, and go out and get a house on a mortgage with these verses like this and this hadith? I only read one or two or three verses and one hadith. I haven't read the rest of the hadith yet. If that doesn't hit you, then you need a psychologist or you need to go to that gym hospital in Medina or some psychiatric ward. الرِّبَى سَبْعُونَ جُزْءًا أَيْسَرُهَا أَنْ يَنْكِحَ الرَّجُلُ أُمَّهُ. Riba has 70 branches, 70 parts. The least of it is like a man, and the word man here means a man or a woman. It's like having sex with his own biological mother. Now, I've done this before, and I plan to do it again now, inshallah ta'ala. I'm going to stop for a few seconds. I want you to imagine, you brothers, your mother perfuming herself, putting on some nice lipstick, you turning down the light real low, and you turn on some haram music, and she puts on some real nice clothes, seductive, provocative clothes, and you go into the room with her. And you lie in the bed with her. You just think about that for a few seconds. And you women who think that because this hadith specifically says the men, you know how bad lesbianism is. What we call in Arabic musahaqa, sihah, where two women come together and pound each other. You think about getting into the bed with your mama. And you're still going to go outside and jump in that ride, that Altima, or that Maxima, or that Benz, or that Beamer, and don't even care that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet said these words about this sin that is one of the sab'a mubiqat, seven dangerous, deadly, destructive sins. Right up there with magic, right up there with shirk, right up there with running away from the battle in jihad. River. And we take it so lightly. We take this thing so lightly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on in this ayah, so whoever receives an admonition from his Lord and stops eating the riba shall not be punished for his past. His case is for Allah to judge. But whoever returns to the river, such are the dwellers of the fire, they will abide therein. And there's some commentary on if the Muslim will be in there forever and ever. We know that the kuffar is going to be in there forever. And even if the kuffar right now who hear my voice or don't hear my voice or heard this verse or this hadith and they stop eating or borrowing on the river, it wouldn't be available to them anyway, because the kuffar already had the shirk and the kufr on them, so they don't have a chance anyway if they die like that. But as for the Muslims, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if a person has any iman in their chest whatsoever, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to eventually take the Muslim out of the hellfire. But who wants to go to a place and a condition of which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that the fire of this life seeks refuge with the fire of that life. Seeks refuge with Allah, تَسْتَعِيذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ النَّارِ الْآخِرَةِ. That the fire of this life, the heat of the sun, the hottest fire we know of, seeks refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the fire of the next life. And some narrations, I doubt the authenticity of it, but alhamdulillah, it's poignant enough anyway, even if it's unauthentic. We're not using it as a proof. We're just giving you an example. The hottest fire in this life seeks refuge with the coldest fire in the next life. How would you want to go there anyway? And brothers and sisters, let me just give you one point that you may not know. There are no fire extinguishers or fire escapes in hell. There are no fire extinguishers or fire escapes in hell. How can you take this thing so lightly? MasterCard, Visa, CardMont. You just charge yourself up. Don't even think about it. And you have the nerve to talk about people not dressed properly because they don't have any car on. And you got a car note. You have a nerve to talk about somebody shaving their beard and you have a mortgage. You have the nerve to talk about somebody who gets high. May Allah keep us far away from it. And you have all these credit cards. We have a lot of nerve, brothers and sisters, because we take this mortal sin real lightly. We're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're going to stand in front of Allah, and we don't fear Allah now, and we are not going to be able to shiver, because in that day, the people, because of their sins, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said that some of them, the perspiration from the fright will come up to their ankles. And some of them, because of what they did in this life, their perspiration will come up to their thighs. And some, their perspiration will come up to their neck, and some will be consumed by their perspiration. Consumed by your sweat, drowning in your sweat just because of the sins you committed. And that's why Abu Qasim, and this is not Abu Qasim Nawari, this is Abu Qasim of the past, rahimahullah. He says, من خاف شيئا هرب منه ومن خاف الله هرب إليه. Whoever fears a thing, they run away from it. But whoever fears Allah, they run toward it. Whoever fears Allah, they run. Whoever fears a thing, they run away from it. A pit bull, a person with a 9mm. You run away from stuff like that. That's natural. But those who fear Allah, they run to Him. What does this mean? They run to Him from the haram. They run to Him from the haram. But when we want to get out of a jam, we call on Master Charles. We don't call on Allah. We call on the judge like a priest, saying we're Muslim, acting like a Catholic, going to the priest, who is really the judge, confessing to him, and what does he do for us? He forgives us of our sins by telling us to say 50 Hail Marys, which is a bankruptcy. That's the bankruptcy. So you don't run to Allah, you run away from those things you got yourself into because of your nuts. Because you want to make this life your Jannah. When a dunya sijnun mu'min wa jannatun kafir. Aw kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That the dunya is a prison for the believer, and it's a paradise for the disbeliever. But we invert those verses in hadith. We love this dunya, and the proof of it is, I just got to get that thing, so I'll get it on credit. I have to have it, so I have to get that thing on credit. And we put ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper until we have hell on the installment plan. Some of the good brothers, alhamdulillah, in Great Britain, they've compiled some literature, and I took these statements from one of their books. They say that it is usury to exchange a given amount of a particular commodity for any more or less than exactly the same amount of that same commodity, whether any delay is involved or not. And this can be explained by our brother Akil Abdul Sabur or by Sheikh Jamaluddin Sorbonzo when we invite him, inshallah, to explain this more in detail. They also say that usury or interest, and usury is not usually used a lot today, so we'll just say the word riba, is to acquire gain from the use of a thing not in itself fruitful without there being any labor, expense, or risk on the part of the lender. There is no risk. And that's why the scholars of Islam, they say, التجارة لا بد أن تحصل الخسارة حتى لا تكون الربا. They say that in order for something to be trade, there has to be risk involved. Risk has to be acquired so that it won't be riba. If there's no risk involved, then it's not permissible. See, but Shaitan will come to you and say, come on, man, you don't want to lose. Come on now, you don't want to lose. Labor for that risk. Get that interest. And then we say what Allah said that the people say who do this. إنما البيع what? That bay'ah or the bay'ah, that trade is permissible. And it's like riba. They also say that usury is to take back more than the principal in repayment of a loan. This is one of the characteristics. This is one of the outsaw, the characteristics or the qualities of riba. Riba or usury is to make money directly out of money. It's to make money directly out of money. And they also say it is a characteristic property of usury that the gain from it is certain and automatic. It's certain and it's automatic. Because you know exactly what you're going to get. And as they stated above, you didn't work for it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 276th verse of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will destroy riba and will give increase for sadaqah. The sadaqah that you give for this noble effort of the brothers here on 4th Avenue to help the Muslims help themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give increase for this thing. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la yuhibbu kulla kaffarin atheem. Allah likes not the disbelievers sinners. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls people who are involved in riba by nomenclatures of kufr. He applies kufr to people who are in the riba. And look at the way Allah calls them. Look at the terminology. Look at the syntactical, or I should say, the morphological structure of the word. Look how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses the correct word, the right word. وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah could have said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كَافِرٍ أَثِيمٍ. كَافِرٍ أَثِيمٍ. Or كَفُورٍ أَثِيمٍ. But Allah said, وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ كَفَّارٍ أَثِيمٍ. The word kaffar is on the wazn or the form fa'al, means the person who is continuously and always in the act of kufr. This is what he attributes to the people who are in riba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-alim al-hakim, he knows exactly the word to choose. والله لا يحب كل كفار عاصم أثيم. And then he attached the synonym to it, or the adjective to it. Not only is it kafar, but he's asim, constantly, perpetually in sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says in this auspicious ayah, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Truly, those who believe and do righteous deeds. Who are those individuals who believe and do righteous deeds? Those individuals who don't consume riba. See, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this all throughout the Quran, we have to go back and look at the contextual proximity of the verses. The contextual proximity of the verses. First, Allah is talking about the people who consume riba, they're like the people who've been touched by shaitan. And the people who try to say that trade is like riba, and Allah has made trade halal and riba haram, and then he said he destroys riba, and then he calls them kafar and afim, and then he says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who believe. See, because it's just not enough to say now, I believe in Allah, and the angels, and the books, and the messengers, and the last day. No. Your eating of the riba is a proof that you have kufr in your chest. So Allah connects it to the belief and righteous deeds. And He also connects it to the salah and the zakat. And then He says, لَهُمْ أَجْرُهُمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. For them and only them, for those who believe correctly and do righteous deeds by staying away from the riba, Allah will give them an immense reward from Himself. They don't have any fear, any grief, any sorrow, any depression whatsoever. No anxiety whatsoever. And for sure, brothers and sisters, riba will eventually cause depression, anxiety, sorrow, at least in this life, and damnation and perdition in the next life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله. All you who believe, have taqwa in Allah, fear Allah. And as one of the great people of the past, he said, if it is said to you, هل تخاف الله, do you fear Allah? Then you, he said, فاسكت, you should be quiet. Because if you say na'am, kazabta, you've lied. And if you say that I don't fear Allah, kafarta, you've disbelieved. You understand what I'm saying, brother? He said, if somebody asks you, do you fear Allah? Be quiet. Don't say yes, because if you say yes, kazabta, you've lied. Because you don't really fear Allah, but the proof. You got that river. And if you say no, I don't fear Allah, فَقَدْ كَفَرْتَ, you disbelieve. So Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. O you who believe, fear Allah. This is a commandment. This is a commandment. And we know from the principles of usul, الْأَمْرُ يَقْتَدِ الْوُجُوبِ إِلَّا بِالْقَرِينَةِ, that a commandment necessitates obligation unless there's some other proof otherwise. Allah says, fear Allah. And then he gives us another commandment. وَذَرُوا مَا بَقْيَ مِنَ الرِّبَى, and stay away from that which remains after the principle of the riba. Stay far away from it. إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ, if you are believers in reality. And see, brothers and sisters, this is a conditional verse. This verse has a particle of what they call شرطية. إن is شرطية. إن كنتم مؤمنين. If you are really believers, the proof that you're not really a believer in reality is that you don't fear Allah and you keep on attaching yourself to that river. But the proof that you're really a believer, that Iman has entered into your chest, is that when you hear this ayah, you go in your pocketbook, sister, and you start paying up and ripping up and cutting up them credit cards. And I'm using bad language purposely. Them credit cards, not those credit cards. You start cutting up them credit cards. And you reach into your wallet, brother, and you look for some scissors or some matches or a lighter to start burning up that plastic before you burn up. Before you enter that place of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in these auspicious verses. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you don't do this, now you know how it was when you go on the street, right, brother? You're getting ready to shoot joints with somebody, but the sisters don't know what shooting joints means. When you start getting into a fight with somebody, or they get ready to put their hands up, you build slugger up, and they tell you, now look, I'm telling you right now, the playground. You're in the playground, you know the setting, night, summer, day, you get into an argument, and somebody tells you, look, I'm telling you right now, if you don't stop it, I'm going to whack you upside your head with a stick. I'm going to break your jaw. Can you imagine the Lord of the world telling you this? Can you imagine the Lord of the world telling you this? فَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you don't, this is رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ, brothers. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Do we really know who's speaking in the Quran? Sisters, do you really know who's speaking in the Quran? This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who destroyed people in the past, like Ad and Thamud, and there was no traces of their even being existing at that time, and until Allah put it in the Quran. You didn't even know they existed. He wiped them out so well that he had to tell you that they existed. You wouldn't even find traces of these people. Allah is telling you, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Then he announces war. Allah and his messenger announces war on you. Allah is going to make war on you. And of course, from our aqidah, we don't say things like this, because our aqidah is sahiha. We have the aqidah, inshallah, of Ahl al-Sunnah wal Jama'ah, of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un. But I like to mention this, and this is not, I'm not using this as a proof. But you remember that old clay, that clay that came out around the 70s or the 80s? Your arms are too short to box with God. Here's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala announcing war. And his messenger is going to make war on you. What sky can you hide under? What earth can you run on to run away from war from Allah? What kind of weapon you think you're going to protect yourself with? What kind of scud missile you think you can use? How all that karate and kung fu and jujitsu? You think you can handle the war from Allah? But you'll go right outside, I'll say it again, and you'll jump in that nice pretty ride, roll up some windows, turn in that air con, and drive off into the hell sunset with that car and a new. You'll go home, turn in that nice big 49-inch TV that you got on credit, turn on that air conditioner that you should have bought from Zamir on Clinton Avenue, but you bought it from Mr. Goldstein on credit, and you cooling out, literally, before you burn out in hell. فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. So announce war from Allah and His Messenger. وَإِنْ تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. And if you don't, then take notice of war from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, what does repent mean, brothers here? Sisters in Islam, what does repentance here mean? We know the principles and the conditions for repentance. Come on, we're not new to this. The conditions for repentance is that, number one, you immediately leave off the haram. That's number one. Immediately. Immediately. Not 3 days from now, not 5 days from now, not 1 year from now. Oh, wait a minute, I just got one more payment. You immediately leave off the haram. Number two, you stay far away from anything similar to it. Number three, you have extreme regret and remorse for the haram that you committed.
And if it was something that had to do with the human beings, you did something against one of the human beings, then you have to go back to them and ask their apology and forgiveness and give them their haq. Just think about this, brothers and sisters. How many so-called scholars in the Muslim world today, here in America and otherwise, not only don't tell you that this thing is haram, they encourage you to eat in the haram. And you call him your imam. And you call him your sheikh. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْضٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. And you have a nerve to take the tafsir of your imam over the statements of Allah's messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and more than that, Allah. It's okay, we live in America. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgot and didn't know we was going to live in America. وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيًّا. And your Lord is never forgetful. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't know who he created. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah know who he created? And he is اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Like you and your imam knows better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We live in America, that's an excuse? You think that's an excuse? وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever fears Allah, he will make for them an exit. And he will provide for them from a place they have no expectation. And whoever puts their ultimate dependency on Allah, he's sufficient for them. He'll make their task easy for them. But shaitan, from among the men and the jinn, they whisper to you and me, brothers and sisters, to tell you to keep hanging on to that river. I got 8 babies. I can't be in no apartment. Come on, man. This is real. Don't be spooky. Come on, man. This is the real world. And that hellfire is realer than this life, but this thing is an illusion. And that life is the real life. And you're going to stand in front of Allah. You're going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لعن الله آكل الربا وموكله وشاهدين وكاتبه. Allah has cursed. And this is not talking about the 4-letter words. We're talking about the la'na of Allah. The curse of Allah. The same Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when the pagans tried to attack the house of Allah during the time of paganism in the year the Prophet was born, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran hadn't even been revealed yet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected the Kaaba when the Prophet hadn't even become a prophet, he was just born. We're not talking about Muslims, we're talking about Allah protecting the Kaaba who was being protected by the pagans. Abraha al-Asram came with a couple of thousand or tens of thousands of elephants. The leading elephant was Mahmud. And he came to destroy the Kaaba. Why? It's because he had built this church called Kulayt. And in this church was the most magnificent edifice, according to the historians of that time. There was no building like this church. So one of the pagan Arabs, they didn't like it. So they went to the church, urinated and defecated in the church, and smeared it on the wall. So Abraha didn't like that. And I don't think you would like it if somebody came in your house, talking about the house of Allah, and urinated and defecated in your house, and smeared it on your wall either. So Abraha came with those thousands of elephants. And he came to destroy the Kaaba. This is the one who you're making war with, Allah, when you eat this river. Look what Allah did. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَّأْكُولٍ. Have you not seen how we dealt with the companions of the elephant? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent birds carrying what? Boulders? No. Carrying mountains? No. Carrying rocks? No. Little pebbles the size of lentil seeds. Little pebbles the size of lentil seeds. Al-adab, as we say in Arabic. each bird dropped on Abraha and his crew, one pebble light seed, or one lentil seed the size of a pebble the size of a lentil seed. And now one of those lentil seed sized pebbles missed their mark. Each one hit its mark. And all of the people who came with Abraha from Ethiopia, who at that time was under the Yemeni government, they all went away with their skin blistering, pus coming out of it. And he went back and died a few days later. This is the one whom you making war with. The one who did this. The one whom he says about himself, Azizun Zun Jikam. He is mighty and powerful and has all of the power of retribution and revenge. This is the one whom you are contending with just because you want to drive that Lexus. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah has cursed the one who takes interest, the one who pays interest, the one who writes the contract. I'm not eating it. No, akhi, I'm not eating it. And I'm not selling it. I'm not giving it up. But you went to the bank with the brother and you watched him sign the application. You stood there and watched that sister sign for that visa. So Allah cursed you too. And the one who witnessed the contract, the one who writes the contract, and the one who witnessed the contract being written. Also, brothers and sisters in Islam, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these verses, He says, but if you repent, you shall have your capital sum. Deal not unjustly by asking more than your capital sum, and you shall not be dealt with unjustly by receiving less than your capital sum. Brothers and sisters in Islam, I don't think any more needs to be said. I'd like to read something that Ustaz Sheikh Yusuf Al-Qardawi, Hafizahullah, he mentions in his book called Al-Halal Al-Haram fil Islam, The Lawful Prohibited in Islam. He mentions in the section the wisdom of prohibiting interest. He says, the strict prohibition of interest in Islam is the result of a deep concern for the moral, social, and economic welfare of mankind. Islamic scholars have given sound arguments explaining the wisdom of this prohibition, and recent studies, and for those who was in the halal or haram class, probably the root cause of all types of oppression and tyranny in the world. River. He says, number one, from Imam Fakhr al-Din al-Razi, rahimahullah, in his tafsir, the taking of interest implies appropriating another person's property without giving him anything in exchange. Because one who lends one dirham for two dirhams gets the extra dirham for nothing. And I'd like to mention something, brothers and sisters. I'd like to mention something here from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of which he said in an authentic narration, إِذَا ظَهَرَ الرِّبَى وَالزِّنَى فِي قَرَيَةٍ فَقَدْ أَحَلُّ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. When usury and fornication appear in a town or in a community, the people of that community render themselves deserving of the punishment of Allah. إِذَا ظَهَرَ الرِّبَى وَالزِّنَى فِي قَرَيَةٍ فَقَدْ أَحَلُّوا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ. When usury and adultery and fornication appear in a community, the people of that community make themselves accessible, eligible for the punishment of Allah. You see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's Prophet connects riba
with adultery? You remember the statement of the Messenger of Allah, brothers and sisters, when the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that people will be killed and they won't know why they're killed, and people will kill and they won't know why they're killing, that this is one of the signs of the hour? Does anyone remember the rest of the hadith? That one of the direct causes of people killing and don't know why they're killing, and people being killed and don't know why they were killed, is because of illegitimate children. That's one of the direct causes of riotous killing. This word that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used, al-haraj, riotous killing, wasn't even known. The word haraj wasn't even known to the Arabs in the time of the Prophet. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to borrow a word that they couldn't even find in the Arabic language. The word haraj is not even from the Arabic language. That's how serious it is. And one of the direct results of diseases and crime is because of illegitimate children, because of fornication and adultery. And Allah's Prophet puts riba in the same statement as that. Are you understanding what I'm telling you, brothers and sisters? Do you really understand what the Messenger of Allah is saying? That's number one. He says, now a man's property is for the purpose of fulfilling his needs, and it has great sanctity according to the hadith. A man's property is as sacred as his blood. This means that taking it from him without giving him something in exchange is haram. Number two, dependence on interest prevents people from working to earn money, since the person with dirhams can earn an extra dirham through interest, either in advance or on a later date, without working for it. The value of work will consequently be reduced in his estimation, and he will not bother to take the trouble of running a business or risking his money in trade or industry. How many times have you seen on television or read in newspapers a person that gets some money, they say, I'm going to throw it in the bank and sit back in Albuquerque with the drink, with the umbrella in it, on a beach chair and just collect? How many times have you heard that? He goes on, he says, this will lead to depriving people of benefits, and the business of the world cannot go on without industries, trade and commerce, building and construction, all of which need capital at risk. This, brothers and sisters, is something that the shaitan from among the men and the jinn whispered to us to make us think that we can't live without. The kuffar will tell you, you can't live without riba. You have to have riba to run the economy of the world. Brothers and sisters, you might as well believe the cow jumped over the moon. If you believe that you can't run a world, an economic world, without haram, then you have to believe, you might as well stay in Christianity. That kind of guy stuff. It's the same thing. How is Allah going to make something haram and then make a society through the economic system of Islam, through hisbah, through the way that the society should be run through the Quran and the Sunnah? How do you think Allah is going to make a society that is the perfect society based on the perfect being, and you can't live without something that's haram? This is ludicrous. This is insanity. Number three, permitting the taking of interest discourages people from doing good to one another, as is required by Islam. If interest is prohibited in a society, people will lend each other with goodwill, expecting back no more than what they have loaned. While if interest is made permissible, the needy person will be required to pay back more on loans than he borrowed, weakening his feelings of goodwill and friendliness toward the lender. Number four, the lender is very likely to be wealthy, and the borrower, in most cases, is poor. If interest is allowed, the rich will exploit the poor, and this is against the spirit of mercy and compassion and charity. The first one was a moral aspect of Islam, and the second one, this one, is a social aspect of Islam. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has informed us in an authentic hadith that you can find in the book called Halal Haram in Islam, and it is authentic, alhamdulillah, that a person who eats one dirham of riba, and for those who don't know what a dirham is equal to today, a dirham today, brothers and sisters, is about 27 cents in American money. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a dirham of riba, dirham of riba, والرجل يأكله وهو يعلم أشد من 73 أو 36 زنية. Taking one dirham of riba while he knows that it's haram is worse than committing adultery and fornication 36 times. 36 times. 36 zinyatan. 36 times you committed adultery. One quarter of riba is worse than that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger. I think, brothers and sisters, that we can end it here. We can end it here with the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His book, فَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأْذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَإِن تُبْتُمْ فَلَكُمْ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِكُمْ لَا تَظْلِمُونَ وَلَا تُظْلَمُونَ. If you don't do, stop doing it, then we announce, take notice of a war from Allah and His Messenger. But if you repent, then only for you is the capital stone. You will not be unjust and you will not be dealt with unjustly. So brothers and sisters in Islam, we're making an appeal to you from the book of Allah and from the authentic sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from those rightly guided predecessors, our righteous forefathers. And we're not talking about George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson. We're talking about Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, and the rest of them, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. We're making an appeal to you to dig into your pocket and spend of your capital sum on this financial institution that we are about to embark on in this building to help the Muslims help themselves, so that we can stand in front of Allah on a day in which our feet won't be able to move until we answer four questions. And two of those questions is how you earn your cash, how you earn your bucks, how you earn your fulus, how you earn your paper, how you earn your money, and where did you spend? On what did you spend? We're going to have some big hefty bags out there near the door. We're going to have some big buckets out there. All that money you've been spending with the river, we want you now, as an act of repentance, to spend some money right now. And I wish, like I said before, that I could do what I can't because it's haram. I wish that it wasn't, or at least my crew, to do like we used to do in the so-called Nation of Islam. Close the door and don't let anybody out. Give up that cash. And we want the stuff that doesn't jingle. We want that folding stuff. But of course, you can't use those tactics. Like Omar Mukhtar said, they are not our teachers. So we have to follow the Quran and the authenticated sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the understanding and the practical application of the Salaf al-Saleh, the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and those two succeeding generations. So with that, brothers and sisters in Islam, I can't scare you any more than what I've done. I came here today to scare you. That was the reason why I came. That was my niyyah, to scare you out of your boots. To scare the pants off you, leaving a lasting hanging around your waist. to scare you to the point where you dig in your purses and in your pockets and your wallet and fill these bags up. Well, bag. That's enough right there, son.
The sisters got a bucket in the back.
The sisters have a bucket in the back. Remember the words of Allah as the wajib. Remember the words of the message of Allah. Remember the statement of the message of Allah that the least of the riba is having sex with your own mother. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us of those who receive all that we eat, all that we wear, all that we sleep on, all that we drive in, all that we live in from halal sources, and make the halal sources sufficient for us and keep us far away from the haram. Ameen. And we ask through Allah to keep our feet firm on the sirat al-mustaqim. And we ask you, Allah, Ya Muqallib al-Qulub, Thabbit Qulubana ala Deenika wa Ta'atika. O controller of the heart, O fluctuator of the heart, keep our hearts firm in your deen and your obedience. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين أجمعين في كل مكان. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت وحدك لا شريك لك أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Anything that I say that is correct, it is from Allah Azza wa Jal. Anything that I say that is incorrect, it is from that corrupt, nefarious, unscrupulous, stinking, nasty shaitan or myself. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.